And welcome to the program, Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And yes, Sunday evening, good to have you guys here with us. Well, you know, sometimes it's funny, and I'll tell you from experience, even judges get things wrong. Now, what do I mean? Well, let's talk about floss for a minute. We all do it, or we all should do it, at least, if you listen to your dentist. But do you remember a few years ago, Listerine had that campaign? They had the advertising campaign, and they basically were saying, look, if you use our product, if you rinse your mouth with Listerine, then you don't need to floss. Remember that? It was a campaign. I think it ran for 6 months, something like that. And I remembered this, you know, because there's a news story that came out. I'll get to that in a minute. But I remembered this campaign about Listerine, that Listerine had, because Listerine got totally shut down by a federal judge because they got sued. They got sued by the people that make dental floss, because people that make dental floss, of course, didn't want Listerine saying that you didn't need to use their product. And so, yeah, well, so what happened was, is that a judge shut it down, and it was Denny Chin. I think if memory serves, Denny Chin was the judge that presided on the Madoff case. He's a Manhattan federal judge. Anyway, Robbie, you can look that up. But at any rate, shut it down. And here's what Chin said, Judge Denny Chin. And this is back quite some time ago. I think in 2005. Is that right? Is it that long ago? Dentists and hygienists have been telling their patients for decades to floss daily. I can attest to that, right? My dentist tells me to do that. They've been doing so for good reason. The benefits of flossing are real. They are not a myth. And then he added that Pfizer's implicit message that Listerine can replace floss is false and misleading. Well, newsflash. Yes. Where is this? Guess what? New story. Dentists forgot to study flossing for a century, recommended it anyway. So, guess what? Dentists apparently never commission the study that establishes that flossing is good for you. I don't know. I think that most people understand that it is. But still, it's so interesting, isn't it? Here's what it is. The stain, I'll read from the article, the stain on the dental profession. See what they did there? Was cracked wide open. Oh my gosh, you love when people write like this. Cracked wide open when the Associated Press asked federal agencies for the data behind its recommendation that Americans floss. And after the AP filed a Freedom of Information Act request, the government admitted that it didn't have adequate data to back the recommendation. Something that it is required to do to have by law. So yeah, I read this story and I said, yeah, we've got to find this old article because I remember this case. And it just goes to show you that sometimes even the highest court in the land will get something wrong. And I'm not saying, generally speaking, please listen to your dentist, floss, it's good for you. Plus, we don't want you to have stinky breath. So, you know, do us a favor, floss. But it's interesting. Sometimes we think naively that the court, you know, it goes all the way up to a federal court and they're going to make a solid decision. But sometimes the facts that back up that decision are flawed fundamentally. And that's why you're listening to this show, because even though we don't really talk about floss very often, we do get into facts. And we go beyond just what is accepted. And you should never have somebody tell you this is the way it is and just accept it. Go to the facts and form your own opinion. And that's what we do here on Sam Nation. That's what I'm going to try to do here. And I'll ask you for some patience as we go through this Trump v. Con, or Con v. Trump, however you want to put it, scenario. Which is, so. And again, if you've been living under a political rock, I'm fine. It's okay. I'll explain it to you. During the Democratic convention, one of the speakers brought up was a man named Khazir Khan. Now, who is he? He's a lawyer. He actually has a law firm that handles immigration matters, ironically. And we talked all about immigration last show on Saturday, last night, yesterday afternoon. And if you didn't catch any of it, it was good. We went over a lot of great stuff. So download the podcast at samnation.com and get caught up. But he's got a firm that advocates for and facilitates immigration from predominantly Muslim countries. And I'm not an immigration expert, but I do understand there are different forms of visas that match certain categories of people. And the visas are ranked in certain priority levels. And one of the things that immigration lawyers do is to, they do game the system to some extent. They do try to figure out, okay, client wants in, how do I get that client in? How do I make that client fit one of these boxes over here that are set up by the government? So there are visas, for example, for skilled labor, for artists. And they're all the way down to family members and unskilled labor. And you have different boxes. And this is a guy whose law firm and a lot of ado is made over him, you know, facilitating Muslim immigration from these radical Muslim countries. And that's probably how they found him. I mean, he's a Democratic, probably a Democratic donor. He's got a law firm that has to interact with the government on some level, because if you're an immigration lawyer, you're talking to a few different federal agencies. So he's probably somebody who is fairly connected politically, a Democrat, and somebody somewhere decided brilliantly to trot him up on stage. Now, the best part is, if you saw the spectacle that was Khan on stage, he looks like a nice enough guy. Now, his wife is standing at his side wearing a veil. You know, she's got her head veil. And the imagery is powerful. It's interesting. We're trying to figure out the extent to which they really are religious, and she does wear full paraphernalia on a regular basis, or if it's something that was ginned up for this event. And it's not clear, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. But the interesting thing is, so Khan gets up there, his wife doesn't say anything, and they're brought up there because their son served in the military and died in combat. They're a Gold Star family. And the point is, Mr. Trump, how dare you ban, if it was up to you and your ban on Muslims, my son would never have had the opportunity to serve this country and by implication, die for this country. And I'll get to that. So the Democrats, first of all, they're desperate to get away from the Benghazi narrative. Okay. Benghazi is following Hillary around like the Black Death. And so these speakers, right, the Benghazi families, the parents and siblings of the people who perished in Benghazi they went up in the Republican convention, they spoke, and they've been doing a round of media interviews, and it's been effective, proven effective, because Hillary has a credibility problem. It's not just the lax on security. It's not just the hocus pocus that we've gone into before. when we're talking about Benghazi, about do they get into the uniform, do they not? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Just the nonsense BS that Hillary is so good at, you know, throwing out there. But it's not about that. What it's about, and this is important, what it's about it comes down to her credibility, which is, you know, she claims that she did certain things and which she didn't do. She didn't call in an airstrike. She didn't call in for help. She didn't. She delayed a response, worried about the image, right? The optics. Okay. And her testimony was basically untruthful, if not perjurious, when she testified to Congress. So the Democrats are sitting there and Hillary's campaign people are sitting there scratching their heads and they've got, you know, we've got to find a victim, because this is what the Democrats do. They always have to find some victim. And Trump stepped into it. He just stepped into it because, and I'll explain to you here what he should have done and should have said. Because substantively, his instinct was not wrong. And you're not going to hear this a lot of places, because he's met with virtual widespread condemnation over these comments, which were, of course, to go on the attack. And I'll tell you what that attack actually consisted of, because you hear a lot of him. It says, well, Trump attacks Gold Star family. Well, let's talk about what that is, because when we come back, we got to get into the legitimate criticisms of this family, of this guy. And it's not about the soldier that perished, but it's about this guy and his wife and what they do and some of the crazy things that they believe. So when we come back, let me address that. We'll get into it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
You know that mural of Hillary Clinton in Melbourne? You guys know this. They painted Hillary, some street artist. Yeah, kind of a Banksy type. Banksy wannabe paints Hillary in a bikini. Some dumpy street somewhere in Melbourne. It becomes, you know, international news. No, it was not good. No, it wasn't sexy at all. Oh, bills? Where? It was bills coming out of, like money? Stuffed into where? Where? Okay. Well, I don't know. I can't even. Well, apparently there were some dollar bills stuffed into, you know, the bikini. Which, by the way, her tax. Anyway. So, long story short, there was an uproar. Yes. I thought Australians were pretty chill. I thought everybody calls Americans prudes. I'm tired of this. Right? They got bikini pool parties in France, the land of the promised land of nude beaches and God knows what kind of bacchanals. And now in Melbourne, Australia, you can't even paint a nice mural of Hillary Clinton in a bikini. And it wasn't even that, you know, it was a pretty, and it was generous. That's a good point, because, you know, I doubt that underneath all that pantsuit stuff, it really does look that good. Well, at any rate, what did they do after the outcry? You're not going to believe this. They actually covered it with one of those giant burkas. They just covered her. They covered her up. The council took issue with it. With the thing, it was, you know, the council is kind of like the city government, right? Here's their quote. We believe that this mural is offensive because of the depiction of a near naked woman, not on the basis of disrespect to Hillary Clinton. And it's not in keeping with our stance on gender equity, the council chief executive Stephen Wall said. Where in the world do they find these people? not in keeping with our stance on gender equity? What's... I'm telling you, this has... I love not advocating this, but really this show and other places where you get rare glimpses of truth without all the BS politically correct filters, it's got to be for these libs, it's got to be like salt on a snail. Can you imagine the kind of vapors that Mr. Stephen Wall would get listening to this program? How is, and this is exactly it. It's funny that in the end, of course, why did the artist put the burqa on Hillary? Because we're finding, and this is interesting, we're finding, and it's happening in Europe now primarily. Europe, where I used to go, I remember as a kid going to Europe and I'd see topless women in ads. Oh my gosh, what in the world? It's normal. In Europe, where they celebrate the human body, I know, it's gendering. But now, in fact, there is a growing alliance between the feminists, okay, radical feminists, okay, and radical Islam. And they're very strange bedfellows. Very strange bedfellows. If I have to explain that, well, I don't know. Try to find me, you know, the National Organization of Women, you know, succeeding with anything in Pakistan. Probably not going to happen. Can you imagine those, you know, those feminist? Anyway. So, speaking of the feminists, we were just talking about, and Sam Nation here, Sam Rojofsky, KBC 790. We are talking about the con thing, con v. Trump. And so what, you know, we're talking about this guy. Okay, the guy gets up, he's there with his wife, he's talking at the Democratic National Convention, and he's talking about his son. He says, "Mr. Trump, if you had your way, my son would never have been able to serve this country. We've made the ultimate sacrifice. We've sacrificed our son." Now, I have something in common with Mr. Khan, and I have something in common with Donald Trump. And I have something in common maybe with many of you listening. I have a son. And the thought of losing him, I can't even put that into words. To any family that has lost a child for any reason, let alone for what I believe is an ultimately selfless act of serving this country and serving in the military, I have no words. Okay? And it's not because, hold on, and it's not because I've been there and I've experienced a loss. It's just because I can't even begin to imagine what a loss like that would feel like. So when Trump responded that he too has made sacrifices, that was the problem. That was not the right thing to say. And the only thing I can really add to that is Trump talks to the media every day. Trump tweets every day. Well, when's the last time Hillary had a press conference? Here is a guy, a candidate, who at an unprecedented level, right? I mean, Romney, Obama, McCain, whomever. No one has been more available and said more things, used more words than Trump. So in the volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of material, Trump finally, in my opinion, finally really stepped in it just with that statement. Because it just doesn't make any sense. Now, the problem is what I like about it What I like about the fact that Trump is the only person who wants to, because everybody else, this is a cacophony. This is a cacophony of noise coming from everyone, from Paul Ryan to Obama. Oh, this is terrible. How could you unfit? This, everyone, now you just have to distance yourself from it. That's not my gut instinct. It's not. Because my gut instinct is, when the Democrats put up this poor guy and his suffering wife there up for everybody to see, it's victim mongering. It's exploitative. And for once, you know, I really look at Trump as a great communicator. I think he's one of the great communicators of our era. And I think when I mentioned to you, I was speaking to Roger Stone, who I was hoping to get together this past week, and schedules didn't allow it. But I was talking to this Roger Stone, who is of course, the notorious political fixer and political strategist, tracing his roots back to the Nixon White House. And talking to Roger, the thing he made very clear is, even in his opinion, and he's seen a lot of great communicators in his, you know, 40 years in public life, Trump is one of the great communicators. So here, he missed an opportunity, because what his gut was telling him, his gut was right. Don't accept the premise. The premise of it is, they put this guy up. And they're using him. They're exploiting him. They're putting up a sad sack victim story, and you're supposed to just accept it. For example, now I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, because it's really important. Because there is an incredible hypocrisy with bringing this con guy to the Democratic convention. What do you think is synonymous with the Democratic Party platform? Well, is it what is it? What does it mean to be a liberal in America? Well, I'll tell you this: they picked the wrong stooge. That's the story that's been missed here. Khan isn't some peace loving, you know, quiet guy who lives in the suburbs and who just is. He's this guy. If you look at his history, he's advocated for Sharia. Well, I'll get into it here when we come back, because he's an advocate for Sharia. And the thing so that's right. So now you have a Democratic Party platform that is all the things that we know about the Democrats, right? Wink, wink, right? They're so compassionate. They're so open-minded. Why don't we ask Khan what he thinks of gay rights, where he stands on gay rights? Because it's important. He wasn't just talking about his son and his family's sacrifice, which transcends any argument. I get that. But you still, when you get up and you participate in a political convention, you put yourself at issue, because your perspective, your evaluation of a problem, your opinion, now has to be interpreted through a filter. If you're telling me, I'm speaking as Trump, if you're telling me that I'm full of crap, that my policies suck, let me ask you about your opinions. Your opinions matter, because you're making a qualitative opinion on me. And that's what Trump should have stuck to. I think it was very witty, for example, when Trump, and I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, but I thought it was really witty when he said that part about, I wonder why his wife wasn't speaking. I wonder if she's allowed to. Because this guy, let me tell you, this guy's a fundamentalist Islamic guy. It's total hypocrisy for him to stand up and wave the Constitution. I'll explain that when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is James Bergener. Finally, there's a weekend radio show that doesn't suck. Listen to Sam Nation with me every Saturday and Sunday.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we were just talking about Hillary Clinton making an appearance in Melbourne, Australia. Well, not that kind of an appearance. There was a mural There was an artful depiction of Mrs. Clinton wearing nothing more than a bikini and apparently some currency stuffed in the lower portion of said outfit. Well, they turned, well, now, so just imagine that. Wrap your heads around that for a minute. This is before they put the burqa on it, although I think Hillary in a burqa too would be a sight to behold. At any rate, imagine somebody, and they will probably sooner or later, paint something like that in downtown LA. So there you are. You're driving along. You look at the burqa or the bikini or whatever it is, and the whole thought of Mrs. Clinton semi-nude, and you're done. The problem is the guy next to you is done too, and bam, there he is. He slams into you, and it's an accident. And you know that feeling? You're like, oh, crap. I just detailed my car. I just got my car detailed. Why now? Pull off to the side of the road. Guy's really nice. He's like, I'm sorry. It's the mural's fault. You know, I got distracted. You guys exchanged information. You think everything's great. This guy, he apologized. He's going to make everything right. He told you he's so sorry. Everything's great until you call his insurance company. And at that point, you know what? That insurance company doesn't care about taking care of their guy. They certainly don't care a rat's rear end about taking care of you. What they are interested in is saving money, plain and simple. And so what you needed to do before you even call, don't even make that initial call. Make your first call to attorney James Bergner. His friends call him Sweet James. And when you talk to him, you'll realize why. He's someone who will fight for you, make sure you get what's fair, represent you, no matter if it's a dog bite, car accident, shoot, any kind of injury. Sweet James. So, what do? You call him, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Well, okay. That mural, by the way, I really think we ought to have one in L.A., The thing is, ironically, you know, we probably wouldn't get covered up in L.A. It's true. And if you missed last segment, I was talking about the absurdity of it. Now, that's in Australia, where I think is also a fairly liberal place, a liberal socially, I mean. You know, everyone always accuses us of being the prudes. It's funny. So now, anyway, now apparently you can't, you know, and I talked about it. It was not, interestingly, about that mural. It was not the fact that it was Hillary Clinton, because the guy, the local mayor in that city said, it's not that it's Hillary Clinton. It's that this is a poor gender depiction of a woman. Well, it's a gender equity thing, but at least he called Hillary Clinton a woman, which I think, well, anyway, so talking about Khan and Trump and Khan, you know, we were just going through it, and I wanted to explain to you what I thought about this whole setup, and I needed to take some time and really consider it. And my general instinct is to never go with the flow. I mean, if there is mass hysteria, I'm always going to try to take a minute, take a break, take a pause and a breath and figure it out so that I can give you a different take on it. Because if you want what everybody is hearing, go listen to CNN or some of the other talk shows. But if you want the straight scoop and if you want to hear something that you're not going to hear anywhere else, you want to hear some critical thoughts and perhaps some more, you know, fact-based evaluation, this is the place. Because we are in an emotion-free zone. This is all about the facts and not liberal fictions. And sometimes we challenge even right-wing fictions, right? Because ideologies tend to create their own fictions. And this is the problem here. The narrative is, as of this week has been, or this whole past week has been, what? Trump attacks Gold Star family. And that's true only to the extent that Trump did a terrible thing by equating any sacrifices that he's made in his life to the sacrifices that were made by these parents. And that's, this is nonsense. And I explained that earlier. But I think we got it. Now, Khan has made himself an issue. He has made this guy, the dad. I am not talking about the son. In fact, you know, yesterday's show, if you'd missed it, get the podcast at samnation.com, because I talk all about assimilation based on economics. And we talked about why Europe has so much homegrown terror compared to us. And I explained it. So get the podcast if you missed it. But the one of the things I mentioned at the end of the program yesterday was I talk about assimilation, how important it is to be patriotic. And I submit, I know nothing of him, but I submit that someone like Khan's son, okay, joins the military, you know, serving the country. It's an example. It's one of the institutions that allows for assimilation. Churches allow for assimilation. That's one thing we have. A lot of faith-based organizations allow for people to come in and to assimilate. And these mosques should encourage that. I don't want to get too far on a tangent, but this guy is actually an example. It's true. If the Democrats brought him up as an example of a solid, integrated American Muslim. Reed, also, one of those people I talked about yesterday, such as myself, he is a son of immigrants. I get it. He's assimilated. And he's not one of the problems that we've been talking about. So, and they could have left it there. But they obviously are drawing the nexus between here's a guy, and consequently, Trump's pronouncements, Trump's desire or plans to restrict immigration from radical Muslim countries, read countries that promote, foster, develop radical terrorism. His plan to curtail immigration from those countries. Whoa, what a load of crock. Look at this guy. Look at this family. Well, we can look at the guy, but I think combat deaths in Iraq, for example, what did I read somewhere? 0.4% were Muslim. I mean, it's the amount of people in our military that are the son of Muslim country immigrants. If you trace all that, it's a very, very small number. So you can't ever win an argument by saying, here's a tiny little sliver here. Your plan sucks because look at this tiny little sliver over here. Everything's good. And you can make that argument. And Trump should have made that argument. And he should have made it more precisely and not by somehow trying to create parity between him and some sacrifices clearly that he's made in his life with the ultimate sacrifice that this family has made. But the bigger issue, or maybe just as big of an issue, is this whole concept that this guy's up there, this Khan guy, and he's waving the Constitution around. He's waving the Constitution. It says, this Constitution, Mr. Trump, rah, 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 rah. And everybody's schwitzing in the crowd going, yes, 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 oh, yes, oh, yes. Trump wants to tear up the Constitution. Well, yes, yes, Mr. Khan. It's a giant mass liberal orgasm. Yeah, Matthew's probably had two shivers going up both legs. Yeah, so, well, but that's true. It's the only time the libs are cheering for the Constitution. But that's not really this is it. It comes down to, what does he really think of the Constitution? Khan, this guy, he comes to the country from Pakistan to escape the military rule in 1980. He ends up doing some review of a book, written by a guy named Brohi, who was a Pakistani minister of law and religious affairs. And this guy's Brohi's book is all about Sharia, how Sharia is the dominant supreme law and all man-made law is beneath it. And in his evaluation, in his review of Brohi's work, Khan says, basically, yeah, the Constitution should be subordinate to Sharia. Yes, of course. The Constitution. He calls the Constitution man-made law. Okay. So now what? Democrats put up a guy who believes this kind of nonsense, fairly recently speaks about it. And here's some of the stuff that he's reviewing and some of the materials he's reviewing. For example, divinely ordained punishments have to be inflicted. And there is very little option for the judge called upon to impose hadad, which is these punishments. And so, things like stonings, things like beheadings, things like, well, honor killings, where men, uncles, fathers, brothers are called upon to kill women, daughters, wives, if they somehow bring upon disrepute to a family. That kind of thing, this guy advocates. And he's standing up in front of a room, not a room, a stadium full of Democrats and paid actors put in by Democrats to pretend that they're enthused, room full of liberals, and he really believes, what do you think he believes about gays? How can you put a guy like this up on stage at the Democratic National Convention? This guy, I wonder what he thinks. I bet he thinks, well, I'll tell you what Sharia thinks. Kill him. Right? Throw them off of buildings. This is absurd. Got more about this. This will really shock you. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
And we're back. Sam Nation, KBC 790. Look, I'm talking about this Khazir Khan attorney. Well, described by the DNC as a Pakistani-American attorney. And one of the things, so he's, one of the things, of course, that's coming to light since his debut at the Democratic National Convention is this paper, a law article that he wrote for some Houston Journal of International Law. And in it, he praises a Pakistani minister who basically believes that Sharia law is the divine law of the land. All other law is man-made. And it was somebody who was instrumental in later bringing Sharia courts into Pakistan. And what's interesting to note, there's two things. One, this guy, this Khazir Khan, also on top of all this nonsense, and by the way, downright awful stuff, and he speaks admiringly, for example, of one of the interpretations of what to do when your wife acts up. And he advocates for the right of men to be able to beat their wives who act, quote unquote, unseemly. So, again, that when I said earlier that Trump should have stuck to the being funny, if anything, if nothing else. And by saying, hey, I wonder why your wife wasn't speaking, you know, I wonder if you even allow her to. It's not that far off, okay? The Democrats picked a really flawed vessel, a really flawed stool pigeon to put up there. This guy's, come on. They couldn't have found someone else. I mean, and the reality is maybe they couldn't have. Because most military families don't like to be exploited. They don't like to be trotted up. They don't like to be used as political pawns. The ones that do are themselves politically engaged and have an axe to grind. And this guy clearly does. So one of the things he does, his law firm specializes, and I talked about this earlier in the program, law firm specializes in facilitating easy to get visas for particular people in high risk Islamic terrorist countries. Okay. And this is precisely the group of people that Trump doesn't want to let in. Let me ask you something. If you have a donut shop, I'm just follow me on this. If you have a donut shop, Trump gets up there and says, I'm going to outlaw donuts on day one of my presidency. I'm going to restrict them. I'm going to watch every single donut being made. And I don't even, you're going to do everything to stop that guy. He's going after your livelihood. Well, that's Khan. This guy literally makes his money importing crazy Muslims, okay? Yeah, people from these very hostile countries. And along comes candidate Trump and says, yeah, I'm going to put a kibosh on that. What are you going to say? Well, you're going to feign outrage and you're going to wave the Constitution up in the air. Have you even read this, Mr. Trump? But it's absurd because, first of all, I want to yell at Khan, listen to me. I'm very sorry about your son, but shut up. Okay? Because because you can't advocate for Sharia law and then wave the Constitution in my face. Because guess what? Sharia law is not just your divine law, is not just Islam does not take Sharia law as something for Muslims to follow. Your law advocates that it be the law of all people, Muslims and non-Muslims, believers and non-believers. So don't wave your constitution in my, don't wave it in my face. Please, that you can't, you have no credibility to wave the constitution when you're an advocate of Sharia law. You're not. And the other thing is, disclose your obvious bias here, which is a self-preservation. And all of these things could have been, absolutely would have been, far better talking points for Trump. Could have come out as reasonable. And so his instincts, again, to circle back, his instincts were spot on, which was, this was a setup. This guy's a rat. He's, you know, there are many. Don't accept the premise of what the Democrats are doing. Because this is what every Republican candidate has completely failed at in the last 20 years. Democrats bring up a victim and you can't attack the victim. You can't criticize the victim. The victim is above all and any criticism. And so the Republican has to get up and do what Paul Ryan did. Oh, our hearts go out to the
family of Colonel Khan. And da, da, da.
Instead of saying, look, what the Democrats did here was a shameful trick. It was exploitative. It took grieving parents. And by the way, I'm with all due respect, these grieving parents, you know, they've got an axe to grind. And to boot, this is a lot of phony outrage over the Constitution, because these are people that this guy literally not too long ago wrote in a law journal on paper, in writing, signed his name to it, that he thinks that the Sharia law should reign supreme above and beyond any constitution or other man-made law. You know that they're actually, well, anyway, it's just that would have been a workable response. Well, you know that this whole thing stinks, right? You know the whole thing stinks. And I'm not, if you think that this is all, I'm exaggerating here. One of the things that happened middle of the week was that Khazir Khan deleted his whole law firm, his website. And he had testimonials in there. He had a how-to guide. And it was all clearly, it was a roadmap for what he does and how he uses and games the system to bring people in from countries. These are people that maybe we want to be looking at very closely, very carefully. And so again, if he had nothing to hide, if he had no issue, if whatever he was doing was above reproach, can you imagine? I mean, why take down the website? What? Because it's getting overwhelmed with traffic and yeah, there's probably a lot more traffic on his website than there ever was. But if you own a business, that's a great thing, because then, you know, that actually promotes your Google searches and all that good stuff. So the more people that go to your website, the more relevant it becomes in searches. And if your real objective is to, hey, be in business and solicit clients you wouldn't take your website down when it's getting a lot of hits. So maybe, just maybe, perhaps, you're up to no good. And then, on top of all of this, is the hysteria from the media. And if you're just relying on the media, which you aren't because you're listening to this program, but if you're just relying on the media to give you what's going on, you would think that you would think that Trump's candidacy is getting paddled, resuscitated back to life, that it is on life support, and that, you know, that at any minute the doctors are going to pull the plug. I mean, that's been the narrative all week. And it's nonsense. Two things. One, Trump stepped in it before and he's recovered. Two, there's a lot of time before the election. And we got to remember that, you know, where our memory is short and there's still a path of recovery here. But the media is trying. The media is trying every step to you. Every day I opened up CNN.com and it would be, I would think I was reading a circular from the Democratic Party. Trump campaign in its death throes. You know, Trump insider says it's over. Paul Manafort apoplectic, phoning it in. All this nonsense. And so one of the best things is when, you know, and who was this? It was, who was this on CNN? Costello. He's got Charles Woods, who's the father of the U.S. Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods, one of the ones good guys killed in Benghazi. And on Tuesday, Carol Costello just keeps badgering him about Donald Trump's feud with Kazir Khan. And what Costello's trying to do, she's trying to get him to apologize, right? He's trying to get Woods, the father of the Navy SEAL, to say that Trump ought to apologize, because they want that soundbite. They want it so bad. But I got to tell you, this guy was good. And so what happens is Woods. Well, so Costello says, now as you step by, this is Costello speaking. As you step by and you look at all that is transpiring now in the political arena, especially surrounding gold-starred families, you know, families like you who've made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, what goes through your mind? And here's the answer. Well, I have a lot of empathy for all gold-starred families. I know one in particular who's been in the spotlight recently, and that was Khan. And he was definitely a patriotic American citizen who was also, this is great, was also a moderate Muslim. And we need to think about these moderate Muslims who are American citizens. And then he goes on and he says, you know, I got the same concerns as all of us do. I got concerns, you know, that we're going to ISIS, you know, a radical terrorist group. And they're not just going to kill Jews, Christian, and gays. They're also going to kill moderate Muslims who don't agree with radical jihad. And now at this point, Costello is basically ready to just implode, because she's like, well, don't you think he needs to apologize? Don't you think, sir? And he just keeps taking it back to Clinton and Benghazi. Clinton proved at Benghazi that she was incapable of protecting 35 of her own employees. How do you possibly think that she can protect 330 million Americans at home? Do you think that Mr. Trump should apologize to Mr. Khan? You know what? I really don't know what's been said. It was great. It just deflected her at every... But this is the thing. They're trying, and it's what I said at the opening here, they're trying to hijack the Benghazi narrative. They're trying to hijack the Benghazi story and turn it all around over to this false outrage of the Khans and their nonsense Constitution waving. So that's what I think. Can't wait for the hate mail. Send it! SamNation.com. That's where our Twitter, Facebook, email, all that good stuff is. And of course, the podcast. If you missed any portion of today's show, yesterday's show, or last weekend, download the podcast and take me with you. See you next week. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.